happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus, and we wrapped up a series this past weekend called Forgiven. And the big idea for the series has been that forgiveness becomes possible when forgiveness becomes personal. And there are really three movements that we've talked about in forgiveness and reconciliation. The first move really is to forgive someone privately before God, right? That's where it starts. It starts between you and God in that vertical relationship. The second one then is that we pursue restoration or reconciliation humbly between you and the person that either you offended or the person that has offended you. And then the third one is just to maintain and remember that we want to protect the unity of Christ's church. So this parable that we've been looking at is, you know, it's housed in Matthew 18. And the interesting thing is, whenever you say that chapter, Matthew 18, right, people don't normally think about the parable. Rather, they think about this process that Jesus describes that we go through when somebody sins against us. And so Jesus starts that off in verse 15 by saying, hey, look, if your brother sins against you, then you go tell him this fault. You go tell him how this offended you. And this is between you and him alone. And I just said that, you know, we live in a highly sensitive culture, but that doesn't mean you have to become a highly sensitive person. You just can't be as offended as news outlets and social media want you to be. You can't live your life by that. And this is just a good reminder that, you know, these conversations, whether we even have them, it takes prayer and wisdom. And that's why you need older, wiser people in your life who can tell you, hey, you shouldn't be offended by that, right? But there are times where you need to have these conversations. And so this chapter tells us how this should work, right? If you go sit down with somebody and they refuse to listen to you, and it's a brother or sister, this is a Christian, right? This is somebody who sees faith the way that you see faith. Then if you can't reconcile, you find two or three other godly leaders, have them sit down with the two of you. And I'll just say there's almost always some wrong in the action and in the reaction, right? There's almost some wrong. So both of you can apologize most of the time for something. But then if this other individual refuses to listen, even to the three or the four or whatever, then you go to the church. And this is one of the reasons that being a member of a local church is so important, because both of you are bringing your lives underneath the spiritual authority of a single local body and the leaders of the church. And the church's role here is to try and help to bring two people together for the purpose of reconciliation. And I think this falls into the category of what Paul talked to the Corinthians about in a process, really more, it's a doctrine than a process, that he called church discipline. In Corinth, there was an incestuous relationship between a son and his stepmother. Both of them, members of the local church there in Corinth. And Paul said, listen, that kind of public sinful behavior is not allowed to be named among the people of God. So when there is obvious public sin between two people who claim to be Christians who attend the same church, you know, if they refuse to repent and change after conversations with one another, with other leaders there, then there needs to be separation for the purpose of prayer and repentance. And I just said it's a tough part of church life. It really is. Prayerfully, it doesn't happen often. At our church, I'll say we practice this when, and you know, it's necessary, which is rare. But when it's necessary, we do that at the life group level. It's the most relational level, really, of our body. And most of the time, it leads to repentance and reconciliation. And there are some times where it ends in separation. And we pray that's a godly separation. We hate that. But we always want to do our best to side with Jesus and his word, because unity happens intentionally, not accidentally. So, you know, there's this verse in Matthew 18, a couple of verses down from here, where Jesus says, where there are two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be among them. And this verse we often use to talk about a lightly attended gathering. Well, there's not very many people here, but Jesus said, where two or three. That's really not what this is referring to. Now, God is there, right? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But this verse applies to people who show up to try and guard the unity of Christ's church, to bring people together in reconciliation. So that verse is saying when believers show up honestly and transparently, God shows up clearly. That's what he says. So is it just, you know, forgive and forget? I got to tell you, I lean much more into repent and restore. The relationship can be healed and look different than it did before. And that's really what happens when we wrap up the parable, right? You've got this satrap who was forgiven for 60 million days' wages, and he's strangling his brother who owes him 100 denarii. And what we said was that you can't cling to the king with one hand and choke your brother with the other, right? When the king gets word of this, after forgiving this satrap of so much, and he says, you are a wicked servant. I forgave your debt and you should not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. So it's this idea that we can't worship God on Sunday while we're looking for revenge on Monday. I think a lot of times we talk about forgiveness like you should do it for, you know, self-help, kind of selfish reasons. You forgive because it lets you out of prison. As long as you hold a grudge or live in bitterness, you're only hurting yourself. Bitterness is like, you know, unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Those are the things we say a lot of times. But the core reason we forgive is not to help ourselves. The primary reason we forgive is because of the massive grace we've received. And we ask ourselves, how can I hold a grudge against someone for a featherweight offense when I've been forgiven of all this heavyweight sin, right? So reconciliation then becomes more about unity and what Jesus brings us to than it does about uniformity. And what I mean by that is forgiving and forgetting are not the same thing. The relationship does not have to look like it used to look after the offense, right? You can adjust the boundaries of the relationship. Boundaries can be holy, right? So in light of that, I think a lot of us, I said, you know, you need to text somebody. You need to stop telling everybody else your version of the story. Some of us, and this is a tough one, need to forgive that person who's probably never going to apologize. And that's between you and the Lord, right? You can stop, you know, checking Instagram and hoping their life takes a downward turn. We talk to God first and involve others when necessary. And we normally do that backwards. We normally go to others and talk first and then involve God if we think it's necessary. So I think for us, it really brought us to this moment in communion where we said forgiveness is not something you simply do. It's someone you meet. And when you meet the resurrected Christ who gave his life for you, you cannot help but forgive. So I'm going to pray that for us today, that we will walk in the forgiveness that we've been given and live in holy communion with God. And then you can pray. Father, we do pray that today. We're grateful for the forgiveness that you've granted to us, you've given to us. Forgiveness that we could never merit, that we could never earn. And it's a holy, sacrificial thing that you've invited us into. So in these difficult moments, God, where we're called to forgive someone, and as soon as we pray that, God, there's a face right in our minds a lot of times. It's an ex, it's a parent or a brother or a sister or a coworker or a neighbor. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to forgive the way that you forgave us. Now you take the opportunity to pray.